We're getting there. You don't see me?
Oh, you're up now.
All right, cool. All right. I'm sorry. Your name is Kendall? All right, do you hear me?
I do.
Okay, all right, cool.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Yeah?
Yeah, sorry for the late email. I didn't realize someone else had used the Writing Center account this morning, so
yeah.
I had to make a Skype account.
Are y'all doing Skype now, like Virtual Writing Center or something like that, or?
No, we're using it just to do these interviews.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not a tech platform I'm used to.
Me either. Yeah. Sorry, there's a cat on me here, and like periodically. Yeah. So are you? I'm assuming because it's January. Are you in your first year?
Yes, I am.
Of the master's program, or?
Yeah, the master's.
All right, cool. So you'll be teaching next fall?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember that. I did the same exact thing. Yeah, I was super nervous to work in the Writing Center, and then that kind of eased up over time. Then I got really nervous to teach or whatever too. So yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Have you ever taught it before?
I have not. I've never taught before.
Yeah. I hadn't before I went in there, so yeah.
Yeah, I've worked in writing centers for the last 3 years, but never taught before, so that's a totally new.
Yeah.
So when you were at Louisville, you were an MA?
Yeah. Yeah, I started in 2000. Actually, I went to Louisville for my undergrad too, and I remember kind of last minute. I'm a first generation college student. My parents didn't go to college, so I got to college, ended up choosing English over after going through some different majors, and then it was kind of last minute that I applied to grad school, and then I would call it even more last minute that Beth Bame, who I guess might be our vice provost now or provost now. She was in the English department before. She's like, did you apply for a teaching assistantship? I was like, what is that? So, like, everything kind of happened not, it wasn't very intentional, but I got lucky. I got the assistantship. And so I guess 2006, 2007, I did the Writing Center tutoring. And then that second year I taught, I hung around. I adjuncted it for a bit. And I actually worked in the Writing Center for 40 hours a week. I was like, I don't know if that ever happened before or since, but they had a shortage one semester. So I was tutoring 40 hours a week in the Writing Center one semester. That was pretty wild, like 8 hours straight of tutoring. And then I got my first full-time job in higher ed. I was an academic advisor in 2010. Only did that for 8 months. I worked in the Arts and Sciences College. Work with exploratory students, and then the job opening came open for associate director in the Writing Center, the job that Cassie does, which maybe Cassie told you, like, I did the job before her. And so I did that probably from sometime in 2010 to, I don't know, maybe 2015. If these dates are important, I will verify the dates. Everything's kind of fuzzy. And then I met my significant other. Her name's Megan Bardoff. She's an English professor. She worked in the Writing Center very briefly, and she got on the tenure track, and we moved to Pittsburgh. So that's how I got away from the Writing Center. But I was in there for quite some time, yeah.
Wow, I can't believe the 40 hours a week.
Yeah. And, by that crazy. Point, I was doing – I mean, not like – I'm not being like cocky. I was pretty confident in what I was doing, and – I had regular clientele, so my schedule was continually filled. There wasn't, because I remember those kind of awesome days where you go in and maybe you have appointments and then everybody no-shows or cancels and you lay around, you do work, or you talk to your colleagues. And I didn't have any of those days. It was just working really, really hard. And But I learned a lot too. That was a good semester. Yeah. Think you froze. Oh, there you are. All right.
Yeah, it
It's
was
wonky.
lagging for a. It
Yeah.
is. I don't fully understand computers
Uh-huh.
or any of that. So when you said that when you first started in the writing center, you hadn't worked in one before. What was your training like?
Yeah,
Like to
so
become a tutor?
maybe kind of similar to yours. So when I first got there, the writing center director was Dr. Mary Rosner. And it lagged again. Are you hearing me even if it lags?
When it lags, I miss a couple words. So I think I missed who the director was.
Oh, okay. Mary Rosner. Did you hear that?
I did not.
Would it be easier? I mean, I know Skype is a little bit more personable, but would it be easier to talk on the phone? Or is
It
Bronwyn,
probably would be.
does Bronwyn want y'all to do it via Skype?
So I think he just wants us in some way to interact like in real time, 'cause we're recording it, but just saving the audio. So I think a phone call would work if I could figure out how to record it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. We can keep it. It doesn't bother me, but if it's kind of making it like difficult on your end because you're doing all the work, I'm just talking and stuff. So, whatever you want to do, we can keep going with this or try the phone.
I think an issue with it too is that I'm doing it on my iPad, which is hooked
Yeah.
up to my phone, and my family just got kittens, so they keep texting pictures, so everything keeps popping up on my phone. So I've been trying to figure out how to like shut my phone off, but like keep my iPad going. So I put it on Do Not Disturb, so we will see how it goes.
Okay.
So what was the structure of the program when you were here, both? Like with writing center stuff and like if you remember like kind of how the GTA ship worked.
So my understanding is, so when I started in 2006, I believe that was Mary Rosner's first year as the writing center director, and previously it was Carol Mattingly, and Carol Mattingly was the director, and Ruth Miller was the associate director, and by that point, they had a pretty good system in place for how they did the training, and it's kind of continued in some form since then. So in the fall, I took, I guess English six something. It was the Writing Center Theory and Practice course. And so we had a couple of texts. I remember it was a Ben Rafoff text, and then it was probably like a Bedford St. Martin's or something like that, just an anthology of Writing Center stuff. Are you getting this? Because it's like freezing
Yeah.
again. Oh, you're getting it?
Yeah, it comes and goes, but so far the sound has been coming through.
Okay. All right. All right. So we had those texts, and so it was a weekly class. It met. We were on the third floor of the library at the time, and I don't know if you've ever been in that space. It's probably been transformed, but there was like a little nook on the other side of the wall, and that's where that we did the class. And it met, I guess, weekly, and we read about writing center theory and practice. We did observations of each other. We recorded a session. I remember us having to transcribe one of our that was a big assignment that we did. We had to transcribe one of our recordings. That was a real pain. Had to transcribe not only like words but body language. I remember that assignment. But yeah, it was kind of that whole structure of getting acquainted with writing center theory and practice in the fall. Nothing in the spring, and then the next fall when we started teaching, we took the teaching composition course, and Bronwyn actually taught that class. That's when
Oh, okay.
he was director of composition at that time. And that was kind of the structure. And then the second year, I guess we had a 2-2, so I taught two English 101s in the fall and two English 102s in the spring. And that was kind of how the structure was.
Okay. So very similar to how it still is.
Yeah. It's a good, you know, and it makes a difference. I've done some various jobs since then. I'm a full-time English instructor now at Ivy Tech Community College. But before I was at Penn State New Kensington, I had a bunch of different jobs there, but I ran the tutoring services there, like all the tutoring, not just writing, but math and all undergrads, which was fine, but there was no opportunity for them to take a class, no real opportunity for them to do a lot of robust training, and it makes a difference. So yeah, I was very thankful that it was structured that way.
So when you were working in the writing center, and I know you were doing 40 hours a week, so that's
so many hours. That's after I graduated.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I got my MA, and that for whatever reason there was a shortage in assistantships, or they didn't have as many tutors promised one semester as they normally do. And so I was basically paid as an adjunct instructor.
Oh, I see.
And that was the equivalent of teaching four classes, 40 hours a week. And then I taught a class too. But yeah, so I was already graduated by then.
Okay.
I don't think it had happened before, and I don't think it's happened since. It was just like an odd semester.
So do you remember, like, what it was like to work with writers in the writing center?
Quite a bit. I remember I was very nervous. When I was an undergrad, I had the same job it took me 5 years to finish my undergrad. I was a physical therapy tech. So I'd been working in a hospital, which actually in some ways that probably helped me because it was a lot of one-to-one coaching people through problems, maybe people stressed out. So I probably had some preparation that I didn't realize that I had, but that's what I had been doing. So doing anything educational like that was very new. I was really nervous. What was I nervous about? Maybe that I wasn't going to be helpful to people. At the time, I thought, I don't know any rules of grammar, punctuation, usage. I have no way to talk about the English language. I didn't feel very confident in my own writing. And so I kind of brought that whole stew of whatever that I was like, this is going to be really tough. The thing is, it was tough and it still is, because sometimes I'll still do some tutoring to help out at the college that I'm at. Even if you've done it a long time, it can be hard sometimes. But it was really difficult at first. But it was rewarding. It took a while. It took a while to get comfortable and kind of get a rhythm and start to understand how to approach writing. But I that's why I feel like the 601 or whatever it was class was super helpful. Just giving you kind of a foundation. Know how to set an agenda, know kind of what to do with a paper, read it out loud, what questions you might ask, and so forth. So that was helpful.
So you mentioned that it eventually ended up feeling like it was rewarding. And that's something that I totally relate to, like outside of this stress and workload of it, you still walk away feeling like, oh, I did something. Do you remember any particular, not session, because that's, I feel like that's asking a lot to remember, but like, what would make you walk away feeling like rewarded?
I can remember like a few. I don't know if I'm supposed to give people's like names. I'll give them, you can always bleep them out or whatever, but I have a few, like, I guess we called them clients at the time. I don't know if that's what you all still call them. The first regular client that I had, his name was Simon, and he was from China. He was a graduate student in an education program. He had probably been in the U.S. for just a few months. He's obviously learning English think maybe it might have been his third language. But he also, I remember him feeling like very kind of isolated, just not really people to talk to, hadn't really met people. And he was a really social guy. And so he didn't really have an outlet. So that was kind of my first meaningful relationship I had with a student. Obviously, I was helping him on his writing, but I think it made him feel like a sense of connection to the university, which was pretty cool. And that was probably my first really rewarding person that I worked with. I also remember, and this kind of stayed with me, and it may not sound like much. His name was Brian, and he was a biology student, and he was going to go to medical school, and he was taking a history course. So it was kind of outside the realm of what he was interested in. It required a lot of writing. It was about the Panama Canal. I even remember that. But what was interesting is he committed to what we want students to commit to, which is kind of getting started early, bringing in multiple drafts, like going home, using the feedback, coming back with a paper that actually looks different than the last time you saw it, because that doesn't always happen. And I remember that by the time he was done, like, he was shocked at how well the paper turned out. And it was the proudest he had ever been of anything that he had written. He pretty much had done all the work. I mean, I'm assuming I gave him some good feedback, but it's actually stuck with me now that I teach writing full time and I continue to work with writing, you know, obviously getting back into the Writing Center as the associate director of just like when you can get a student to commit to the process, it made me realize that pretty much everybody is already a better writer than they realize. They just maybe have not really explored how good they are. That was a particular like set of sessions that probably happened over 3 or 4 weeks that I've not actually ever forgotten about. It's something I talk with my students a lot when they come into my class, is that you can write complete sentences. You know, you have thoughts. What you maybe have never done is really commit to getting feedback and thinking through and really revising and actually just really putting a lot of yourself into the paper. So that was one that actually kind of came to my mind now that we're talking.
Yeah, that sounds, I've had a couple writers that I've worked with that like the final paper is so different than the first draft. And then they get like so excited in a session, like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
And like, it's really cool to watch them like get agency over their own paper. Mm-hmm. That's definitely one of my favorite parts as well. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, my interview questions don't really seamlessly transition into each other.
I don't care. I don't ever interview people like this, so I wouldn't know any different.
Okay. So do you, when you were working on the third floor, do mm-hmm. you remember what that space setup was like?
Oh yeah. I'll describe it, but maybe this isn't what you're looking for, but, I guess my first question, have you like been up there, or even kind of glimpsed at the space or seen where it is?
I haven't.
Yeah. You probably could. I think there's an office there now, but yeah. So what you would, yeah, there's actually a couple of things. It's on the third floor. You would walk in, and it was a narrow hallway. And I don't know, you'll probably eventually reach out, or maybe someone talk to Robin Blackett, who was the program assistant there for forever. And she was at the front. There were two offices at the front too, the director's office. So it was Mary Rosner, and then it was Bronwyn after that, and then my office, or it would have been where Cassie would have been. So you had a couple of offices, real narrow hallway. Go past Robin's desk. She's kind of the gatekeeper. Then there's another little tiny office on the right-hand side, and that's where the assistant directors were, the PhD students. And then walk a little further down the narrow hallway, and then you had this huge open space. And I will say, the space you all are in, like in terms of like visibility, functionality, much better. But in terms of just pure aesthetics and just beautifulness, the third floor space, I don't know if it can be beat, because you go and it was completely wide open, multiple round tables, typical writing center, computers lining the couple of the walls so you could sit at a desktop. But your view was just, it was like a canopy view, because all big windows, it's third floor, so your view is like the treetops of the quad and overlooking the quad, lots of green beautifulness. It was really nice, really peaceful. You could take a little right, and there was like a kind of a like a makeshift wall like blocking the other side, and if you went on the other side, there was a like a conference table that we would do classes at or meetings at, and then there was an office in the back, kind of remote, and that's where the consultants were. Now, what I would add in there, because this is kind of older, when I was there in 2006, it was actually reversed. So the PhD students were in that back corner remote office, and there was only like three or four of them, and they had a really sweet setup, and they had crammed all of us tutors into that little office that was in the hallway when you walked in. And we used to piss Dr. Eisner off so much, because people, we got along really, really well. And so it was just such a social hour in there, and it was so damn loud. We were so cramped, but we really bonded. But after that, they switched it, and they put the PhD students up there, and they put the consultants in the back, because then we could be as loud as we wanted. And it made more sense. There was more of us. I mean, you would have 10 people crammed in a space where you probably should only have two or three people. So that's kind of how it was set up. And yeah, it was a nice place.
Okay. So while you were there, I mean, you spoke to like how the office usage kind of switched from the ADs and the tutors. Mm-hmm. But do you remember like any other changes, like whether they're structural or like professional or pedagogical changes that happened during the time that you spent in the Writing Center?
Well, maybe a few things. Well, in no particular order, we did the virtual Writing Center definitely grew. That grew over, and I don't know where it's at right now, but it existed. It was completely asynchronous to my recollection. And it was pretty minimally used when I first started there. I was one of the virtual Writing Center tutors, do a couple hours. It was really one class that seemed to funnel all the business through the virtual Writing Center. So that definitely grew. Added synchronous chat. I don't remember what software that we used. That was a big change. When I was the associate director, someone would probably have the year I could figure it out. We started tutoring at the Health Sciences campus. So that was kind of our first satellite venture. Megan Hancock was definitely the first tutor to do it. She was a PhD student, and she would go to the Health Sciences campus a couple of times a week. And if she couldn't go, I would go down there and fill in for her. So that was a new thing that happened over time. I believe we still do things with the Family Scholar House. Imagine you all do. But that started when I was an associate director there. Nia Boyd, she was a writing tutor in the master's program and was doing volunteer work there, and then said, oh, we should do something there. And nothing really kind of happened with it until significant until Bronwyn got there, because he's interested in like community literacy stuff. And then we started to go to their site on Eastern Parkway and maybe do a workshop or talk with the students or try to promote the services and so forth. I'd say that was another kind of thing that happened over time. The dissertation writing retreat, which I'm assuming still happens, that was something that happened when Bronwyn got there. I remember, I believe her name was Barry Meadows. She was a PhD student, and she was good. And she was just doing lots of research and about something. I can't even remember the topic, but she kept noticing like dissertation boot camps or writing boot camps. And I'm assuming Bronwyn had already heard of these types of things, but then out of a conversation, it got decided that we would do the dissertation writing retreat. So that was another kind of new initiative that when I got there in 2006 didn't exist. All this kind of happened with when Bronwyn got there. He really just added a lot of that value to the place just with his background and his ability to get things done. I feel like we did a lot more workshops. I did the majority of them when I was the associate director, going to classrooms and talking about writing. We would do them on the Belknap campus, and we would go to the health sciences campus and do it. We got involved with, it was called SIGS at the time, which was like the graduate school, interdisciplinary graduate school group, and we're doing workshops for them. Brahma would know about that. That was something that started with him. So we had some things going on, just I think more initiatives, more outside the classroom type of work. Just more relationships with with professors. I feel like that's probably just something that continued to grow over time. It's just if we knew a professor was routinely sending students to us, we'd reach out and get to know them and see how we could do a better job or be better connected with them. So those were some things that I remember happening.
So you mentioned that the virtual center kind of was starting to get some traction when you were working here. So what other kind of like technology was available or used within the writing center? Like, so I'm assuming since there was a virtual center, everything was still WC online. Is that the same scheduling that you...
We got that. I think we bought that when Bronwyn. So I was already the associate director because I think my first year as associate director, Mary Reisner was still the director. And then after that, Bronwyn so became the director. And it might have been a couple of years in before we had WC online. What we had before was something called Tutor Track. It's pretty awful, or we would just write it in a book. But yes, so WC online. That's really, I feel like that helped with the synchronous chat because you have that link, you can link out. It's just good software. Before, I think we might have been using something in Blackboard, and it was terrible. Like, it was more like live, like text type chat.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you mentioned workshops as well and kind of community outreach. Mm-hmm. Did you have to do, not have to, that's the rhetoric of have to is not what I'm going for.
No, I know what you mean.
Did you, so we have to do classroom presentations. Did you have anything similar to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the classroom presentations, by and large, would be done by the consultants. You know, me as the associate director, just because the workshops were, they took more planning. So like a workshop on literature reviews, MLA, they took more logistical planning. They were more involved, maybe having some teaching experience. I would typically handle those, or the assistant directors would. But we would try to have the consultants do all those short come to the writing center presentations, because that's the best person to do it. You know, here's what a tutor looks like. They're not intimidating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So when I was a tutor in 2006, I remember doing those. And I actually still talk about this with the students that I teach now, because even though I teach composition, I asked them to do some public speaking, real low stakes, because I actually waited till I was a senior in college to take public speaking. And I would drop classes if I had to do a speech. And so I remember, like, that was really terrifying to me, to have to go into a class and talk about the writing center. And I think anyone, I was associate director, and because we would have students come in my office or Bronwyn's office and practice first, I knew, and I'm sure this semester you have, maybe it was you, or maybe it was your colleagues, somebody just terrified to go in there and do that. But yeah, we would do a lot of them, do as many as we could, because there isn't much going on the first couple weeks. Not too much, at least. And you're still figuring out how to do everything. So that's a good use of everybody's time, too. But, oh, yeah, we had to do a lot. We did a lot of those.
Yeah, we're in presentation mode right now. And
yeah,
some of us like them more than others. So
yeah,
it's kind of like a, hey, if you do my presentation, I'll take your appointment. So
that's fair.
We can just win-win. But I don't mind them. But so when you were in the writing center, like, were there any like documents or photos or kind of like memorabilia that like you still have that is like sentimental or?
Yeah, the only thing I have, I have this rock. And I don't know, I think it's in my office. Basically, Robin, who I just got really close to Robin because we worked in close quarters. I mean, her desk was right outside my office. She, like, got a piece of some rock that had been, I think it when they were breaking ground and, like, building the new writing center. And I was a part of those planning meetings with the library about what the new writing center would look like. That was my last year there, but I never actually got to work in the new one. But she gave me like a little piece of this rock. So I do remember that. I don't really have anything, but I do like the, I don't know if you all still hand out those little pamphlets, that kind of those foldable pamphlets. If you still even have that folding machine, I remember purchasing that folding machine. But that was created with Bronwyn because before the pamphlet, we would give out a bookmark that had our hours and not much else, you know. We'd give out like a bookmark and a pencil. And I remember us like transitioning to the pamphlet because it was a lot cheaper. You could put more information on it. I remember us trying to like make the design. I believe it was Barry, the dissertation writing retreat person I was mentioning. Her husband, or at the time, I don't think they're married anymore, may have came up with that basic design. He had some graphic design background. So I remember us working pretty hard together to make that pamphlet. And just the silly things that you have to do when you work in an office, like figuring out, oh, we somehow maybe Robin discovered that there was this folding machine that you could feed them through because we were hand folding them. And that was groundbreaking too. It's like, oh, we got this folding machine that was kind of wonky. But yeah, that was a big document. And then we made all those handouts. I saw, because I still use some of them, so I know what they look like. I remember that was Bronwyn too. We just made a whole new series of handouts and try to make things that were more rhetorically focused. Those like writing questions that are on the website, that was all kind of Bronwyn's time. And that was really just understanding that we had these assistant directors too, PhD students who, they had a lot to say, and that they were really involved in that too, that we could put together just a lot more material that was more reflective of how we wanted to talk about writing. I think before it was just your basic handouts like an MLA or APA. So that was a big thing. So I have a weird sentimental value because I was a part of that. Even like I know the handouts like the, because they were made in Publisher and they have like this weird little checkered design in the corners. That was my idea. I don't know why. Like, it was probably a terrible idea because it just eats up a bunch of ink. But I remember that because I wasn't good at any of that stuff, but it was kind of me playing around trying to figure out what the heck this thing would look like. And I guess that was my aesthetic. I can still see a little bit of me in some of the stuff that you all use or hand out to students or refer to them on the website. Yeah.
Is there anything else important or that, like, you feel like would like to be in this interview that I haven't asked you?
I'll throw out a few things, and if I think of other things, I'll send you an email or something so you have it, like, recorded. Okay. Or I can record it if you need voice stuff. I think it would be kind of interesting. I don't even know how you would articulate it or what, but I mean, there's a pretty incredible legacy that comes out of that writing center. You know, I mean, there were some really, really smart people who kind of cut their teeth there, to use a cliche. I mean, I feel like for me, it because So I did that, and then when we moved to Pittsburgh, I was the director of the McCarl Center for Non-Traditional Student Success. So it was, I ran a center for adult learners and adult and veterans at the University of Pittsburgh, and I implemented some writing tutoring there. And then when I got to Penn State New Kensington, they really didn't have a tutoring program. It was just a little bit of math tutoring, so I built a whole writing tutoring program, and I was a disability coordinator, and I incorporated a lot of that working with students there. So I know for me, a lot of what I learned in the writing center, I still use to this day. It really influenced how, you know, not only how I teach writing, but just how I work with students. It ended up really being very valuable when I became a disability coordinator and doing a lot of one-to-one and helping students plan and break down tasks. I'm actually going to be work Ivy Tech, which that's the statewide community college system in Indiana. I live in Indianapolis now, unfortunately. And I'm going to be working with their writing center now too. I guess trying to help with training tutors. And so I just know through my own like professional life and feeling like some of the things that I'm proud of helping students, I learned pretty much all of that working in the writing center. Bronwyn in particular, that should be noted. I mean, because Bronwyn, he's been my most important mentor. I would say him and Beth Bain. They're like my two most important mentors, but like in terms of writing teaching, Bronwyn's number one. I mean, he taught my composition class when I first started teaching. And then when he came to direct the writing center, I learned just a lot about writing, but also just how to be a leader. And so the impact that he's had, not just on the writing center, but just the English department, him being the director of composition, all the people he's mentored, those people are, there, a lot of them are out there teaching. They might be teaching right now as we speak. So just thinking about that kind of, so just that was a starting point for a lot of people. That's pretty incredible. That I feel like very lucky. I think too, now I guess because when I left the writing center, I just continued to work in centers. Like I mentioned the center at the University of Pittsburgh, and that at Penn State New Kensington, I was in the Academic and Career Success Center. So I've always been in centers. I think now that I reflect on it, it just gave a lot of people a place to go. You know, there were folks that would come in there and they would work with us routinely, and they never really seemed to invest a lot of actual time in their writing or even show improvement in their writing, but they kept coming back. And I feel like it was just a place for them to be. And I think sometimes, particularly, we talk a lot about, like, we would talk a lot about, like, how to teach people how to become a better writer, better communicator, and that is the number one goal, but also it's just a place where people can have some sense of connection to the university or to a fellow student who might be going through the same thing. That's kind of special. I feel very lucky to have been a part of it, and I think that's something that's really important about it.
Okay. I really, really appreciate you being able to work this into your schedule.
Oh, yeah. I don't teach on Fridays.
Aside from all my technology issues, that it worked out.
Yeah, if other things, like, you know, come up, don't hesitate. Like, Friday's my best day because I don't teach on Fridays. Because I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I just might need a little. I was there for a really long time, and there probably are things that if somebody like were to jog my memory, or maybe there's something that Bronwyn mentions and he's like, hey, does Adam remember that? Maybe I would. It feels like so long ago, but it really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. And if I come across like any of those interactions with Bronwyn, or you remember anything, like, we can do open email and I can just kind of add it as like a note in the end of the transcription of this.
Yeah. Whatever works good for you. I think it's cool that you're doing this. What, if you don't mind me asking, what's going to be like the end product? What's it going to look like? Is it just kind of an archive, or is it going to be spliced together? Or?
So it's, I guess the Writing Center is turning, I think, 30 or something
Yeah.
next year. And so we're doing an oral history that we are interviewing former tutors and directors and associate directors. And then we are transcribing all of our interviews. And so I imagine that our aspect of the project is going to be embedded into a larger sort of narrative project that Bronwyn is going to be doing.
Yeah. The one I will add now, just I still am stay connected, to some of the people that I met there. And so that was a big valuable thing, 'cause when I was there as an assistant, I'm sure a teaching assistant, I'm sure you can relate to this or other people can, just being in grad school and it being really new and feeling really lucky to be a part of it, because you also would take classes with folks who were doing the master's program, for example, who weren't on an assistantship, and they didn't necessarily have those colleagues and camaraderie and really like support. So that was a really big thing, too. Just learning from each other and those conversations that would happen, or just hanging out outside the Writing Center. And then I don't know why I thought of this. There was a Writing Center tutor. Her name's Lauren Hall. She ended up getting her PhD at the University of Pittsburgh. I don't know what she's doing now. She would be a cool person to talk to, but just kind of getting used to tutoring around people. She was really, really loud. I think I was too. But just that whole, like, that just takes me back to like those hours of the day where you might have five or six appointments and all of that like hustle bustle, people around, and kind of getting used to like tutoring alongside other people. That now is like kind of coming back to me, and how certain people got a reputation for being like the loudest. And Robin knew a lot about people's tutoring, and she would try to kind of put students or writers with certain tutors, because she could hear basically every tutoring session that was happening, but particularly the loud people. That was like they kind of had a reputation. But I'll have to think about some other stuff. You're taking me back down memory lane here. But that's all I got right now, I think.
Okay. Well, I don't have any more written questions. But like I said, like we can, if you remember anything or I have a further question, I'll shoot you an email and vice versa.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, not a problem. I hope, if you don't mind me asking really quick, what class are you taking this semester?
I'm taking rhetoric and poetics with the current DGS, Joe Turner.
Oh, yeah, Joe. I know Joe. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah. And then I'm taking 20th century literature with Amy Klucke. And then research methods in composition with Mary P.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is your goal to do a PhD?
Yeah.
Cool. And in rhetoric and composition, or?
Yeah, definitely. I have a, my undergraduate degree is in history, so I'm very much not a literature person.
Yeah.
So the fact that I have to take lit classes is a little new to me.
Yeah, I
But
guess
my
it like
end goal is to be Bronwyn, so.
yeah, cool. Yeah, he's a good person to kind of model yourself after in terms of, being a professional. I've always been I was now that I've like gotten and worked at some other places, like Bronwyn really sticks out because he's super smart, he's super kind, but he's kind of that rare like academic who can like get things done too. He's like very organized and very productive too. He's kind of got a really nice broad skill set that, not to generalize, professors and people in academia, but a lot of them don't have those kind of basic kind of professional skills that he has. So yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. But well, I hope you have a great semester, and it was good talking with you, and maybe we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah, bye. Have a good day.
You too.